Welcome back to episode 31 of the Talking Physiotherapy podcast. Happy New Year, gents. Hope you've all had a restful and peaceful period. How are we?
Pretty good.
Very good, mate.
Doing good, Connor.
Good. And we've got a new addition, as you might have heard from all the voices. We've got Frank, who we're welcoming onto the team to help with the social media side of things. So without further ado, we'll jump straight into it. And Frank, tell us a little bit more about yourself and your journey and how it's perhaps been a little bit more of a different one at the start, going into something else before physio.
Yeah, so I suppose a bit more different than others, Connor, in that my undergrad was in finance in Queen's University in Belfast. Growing up, I always loved sport, and growing up in Ireland, played Gaelic and soccer, loved to crack with the lads and all the rest. And I wasn't the most skilled in the team, but I was always probably chasing to get a wee bit better at the fitness and the hard work aspect of the sport, because I didn't have that skill. And I was always reading about it. And I remember I was, even at 16, 17, on Twitter, Instagram, everything, my whole feed was full of it. But I was half decent at maths and physics and stuff like that. So I pursued finance at university. To be honest, like, no point saying otherwise, was probably because the teachers were saying, look, this is very well paid, and you'll make a great career for yourself, etc., etc. But went, did that over 4 years at Queen's, and in my placement year, I was working in a bank, and lockdowns came in and stuff with COVID, and I just kind of thought to myself, is this really what I want to do the rest of my life? You know, it was probably, you were locked up, you weren't talking to your mates, and I was thinking more and more about it. But I was very lucky in that I had got a business scholarship to America for a year, and I was delayed with COVID, so I got to go at the end of my finance degree. And I majored in business, but they allowed you to minor in something. So I seen physical therapy, and I was like, yeah, went and did it. Did pretty well. And one of the teachers actually said to me, Dr. Norville, he said, you know, you'd be a really good physio. And I was thinking, taking a pinch of salt, I was getting good enough grades. But he said, you should maybe think about a plan and stuff. And lucky enough, university over in England took a chance on me, and yeah, it's kind of just snowballed from there, you know.
So I suppose the three of us have taken a very sort of standardized journey into physio. Yours is slightly different in terms of pathway, and we've discussed it in previous episodes, our own pathway into physio. How does it look for someone who's done the degree and then is going back to uni? How's that whole application process look that would be slightly different to how we would have done it as undergraduates?
Yeah, so we had to do interviews with the obviously it's a master's and pre-reg and physio. So you send off your CV, and with Oxford Brookes, we had to do like 5 questions, and you answered it in essay format, sent it away, and they deemed you, if your answers were pretty good, you'd have got asked back to the interview. And then you're in like a Zoom meeting with 20 or 30 other people, and they put you into scenarios. So obviously I had that. Now, because I had an undergrad, I didn't actually have it. Like, obviously it was finance, it wasn't science based, but I was just saying, well, I've majored in this and minored in that. I've did pretty well in these academically, and I've got good enough grades. Why don't you hear me out type thing, you know? And they took a chance, got an interview, and yeah, like any good Irishman, did a bit of waffling, got through it, and yeah, no, I've loved it. You know, compared it when I was wearing the bank, I was looking at the clock and I was like, oh my god, I can't wait to get out here and go to football or go to the gym or go for a run. Whereas in the physio, like even on placement there today, before I know it, it's 12:30 and you're going for your lunch and you're like, oh, right, brilliant. I'm happy with that. So it is, it's purposeful, and yeah, so I'm really happy with the decision. So I suppose that's how it was different, because I know you boys, some of you would have had to do the HPAT back home. But that's what I did to get into the masters.
It's quite nice to hear someone who's almost been kind of it sounds cheesy, but saved by physio, and how satisfied you are already by it, and obviously, you know, still on placement at the moment. So it's really, really pleasing to hear. And it's also that you've chosen it, maybe more than being guided into it, like you mentioned with the other career that you potentially could have carried on into. Where do you see yourself now? You know, obviously as a student still, where do you see yourself moving into, going towards, perhaps in the future? What's your interest within physio?
Well, you know, it's probably no shock that most of it would know. I do like my MSK, so as my ones back home wouldn't know what MSK means, so I say muscles and bones. Sports rehab would be what I'd love to get into, because it took me underage teams and would have helped them, you know, a few basic different movements and rehab with their injuries. And, you know, it was pretty rewarding when the mum and dad were saying, geez, wee Jimmy's getting really, he's going really well here. You've saved us a fortune. I'm like, geez, I didn't do that much. Just give him a few exercises to do at night. So I'd love to go down that route. But I think environment's key, Connor. I have a heap of learning to do, so much learning. So I want to get into the right environment where I can learn. And, you know, you got to be happy where you're learning too. So it's all right being in a real good environment to learn, but you have to be happy and have a bit of crack. I think that's a big one. I've enjoyed some placements more than others because I've had crack, and then I tend to find myself being more curious and put more effort into the work as such. And then it just like snowballs and you get better and better and better. So yeah, hopefully sports rehab, but we'll see what happens, you know.
I think you're taking on what actually is important rather than choosing an area straight away. There's some key things that a lot of people don't consider, which is like where you're working, who you're working with, and how you feel when you're working as well. Like physio, as we said, is a great profession, but if you are in the wrong team, it can be very difficult and it can be more taxing than that. So if you can try and avoid that and keep yourself in a good headspace when you're learning, it's probably going to be the best for your development.
No, it's just saying, yeah, that's 100% correct. Like, you know, you've got to be in the right environment. And I'm not rushing it per se, because I was kind of just saying to Connor before we came on, I started neuro placement yesterday, and I wasn't really too concerned with doing much neuro, but I had to do it. And like, I'm 2 days in, and honestly, I'm just blown away by it. It's fantastic. They're using games, Xbox, Wii, PlayStation. There's so many activities, and I'm just loving it, and the time's flying. So I'm not going to cancel out anything yet. But the team's really, really sound so far, and it's making a good difference to my learning. 2 days in, you know. So
yeah, it's good to hear that you're having, like you said, a good experience, and perhaps in an area of physio that you didn't think that you might enjoy, and who knows, by the end of your studying, you might have actually changed your mind, and MSK is not so much what you want to go into and something else is. But I guess that's the pros of physio. There's different areas to it and lots of facets that you can go into. Your keenness to learn and your sort of positive approach towards physio and all things is really, really nice to hear. And I think it's probably worth us highlighting or giving you the chance to plug your Instagram, because I know you're quite active and frequent with your posting on there. So take it away with that. Let the listeners know what your tag is and how to find you.
Oh, thanks very much. The Instagram. So yeah, I started up the Instagram last January after my first placement. So it's Frank the Physio. There's the shameless plug out of the way. So it's brilliant. It's a bit of crack. I don't know whether I'm putting out that much physio value, but I always get the boys and even family and people back home saying, you're putting up good funny memes and good songs and stuff. So I'm probably going to have to try and swing them over to the physio a bit more and get a bit more rehab out in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, it's a bit of crack. That's it. Like, you know, when I came on as a physio, I seen fantastic resources online. There's so many good people out there if you can cut through the noise. And I couldn't really find too many students. And then I did find some fantastic pages, but they're probably far smarter than I am, but it was just very black and white. And it was like, read this paper, this was it. And I was just like, I have good crack in the class, and I was just like, could I bring maybe a bit of that personality to Instagram? Like, some people love it, some people probably hate it, but yes, it's a bit of crack, and I try and keep it physio related, even sports exercise related. You know, there's a lot of low hanging fruit. You know, you don't need to be a physio to be there, or any profession, to know that getting out and walking, eating a bit of a healthier lifestyle, doing a bit of exercise during the week is going to help you. So I try and keep it, like I always say, if my mom and dad can understand it and they go onto my Instagram and they see, all right, that's actually not too bad, maybe he's not full of dung, I'll give that a go. You know, I'm happy enough with it.
Is that the goal of the page then, is that it's actually to bring almost to normalize the idea of exercise and rehab, and almost like amalgamating them in a roundabout kind of way that Joe Blogs off the street can throw onto the page, and he can understand one what the exercise is, but actually sees the value in being able to do it. Whereas, like you said, there's a lot of stuff that's black and white, and it says this is the five best exercises to do for this, but doesn't actually explain what it is. Whereas you give that listener a little bit of an explanation when to do it and why they need to do it, it kind of brings it back home a little bit better.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, Lewis. Like, especially where we're from, you know, I would like that anybody could get my goal with the page would be to put enough good, high quality, free stuff out there so that in the future, if I want to be as great an asset in my local community or wherever I am in the future, but like if I'm putting out all this free stuff and they're like, you know, maybe he knows enough to be dangerous stuff, but he's putting out good enough stuff. I'm 10, 15 minutes away from Tullish or wherever. They'll maybe swing by in and see him in the future. I don't know. Like, but I always look back to 16-year-old me, and I was on the internet. You know, you don't have much money at that age. So I try and relate it back to them, give out good free info that anybody can really take it and apply it in their own training. You know, not everybody's going to be going to the Olympics. It's just to get a bit stronger. And the main compound lifts are, if there's a very, you know, if you see a certain injury that pops up all the time, well, here's a couple of drills that you might want to do. It might help. And that might actually help them a bit. And they're like, right, I'll follow him. You know, obviously, this, from a business point of view, I want to build up a bit of a following. But I want to have ethics and stuff too. Like, I'm not going to be sell my soul at the same time, because I go on to Instagram and sometimes it really annoys me. I see a lot of rubbish out there too, and so it's just trying to cut through the noises. Say I don't want to be part of the noise. I want to be putting out quality stuff too.
Last question, just for me, in terms of the type of content, for anyone that hasn't seen it, you put out a lot of stuff around tendon and tendon health, and you make it very understandable, both from a physio's perspective, but also from a Joe Blogs perspective. Do you want to tell people a little bit your views on tendon and tendon health, and what you're planning on doing with it?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm hopefully doing my dissertation. I'm just getting the protocol about patellar tendinopathy. But I remember looking up patellar tendinopathy because I had a touch of it when I was younger, and there was all these different words like tendinosis, tendinitis, tendinopathy. It was just a minefield, and you know, you had to go and do a bit of research. And then I got going down Jill Cook's way of thinking, and then you've got Peter Molyaris on the other side, you know, they're treat the hole, treat the donut. And look, there's pros and cons with both. And then Jake Tura, even, he was coming in with his tendon stuff. I just wanted to make it that I could say it to my dad, who, my dad's a farmer, like I'm real smart in like different aspects with farming and stuff, but obviously with health, there's so much flowery language now, and you know, I read some of these papers and I don't know what it is, and I have to go and Google it. So I just want to make it the layman's terms that they understand what your tendon does, how we can actually help get it pain free. You know, at the end of the day, most people care about their tendons only because it's giving them jip. It's only because they're injured. They don't really care. Like, if I fix it, if we give them Spanish squats or leg extensions and they fix it and they're like, geez, I'm not waking up with the next day pain anymore, and they can go away and play basketball or hurling or Gaelic soccer or whatever, they don't really care about tennis. They just care about getting better. So, you know, giving them a wee bit of knowledge that they can apply and apply it over and over again. So Jake Tura is actually, like, I'll plug him. He's been fantastic. He released, like, jumper's knee protocol and stuff. And that has really helped, because I had a friend last year. He had a bit of an issue with his patellar tendinopathy. We started running that, and he got fantastic results out of it. And I was like, geez, it's nothing to do with me. It's just the science behind it. So, yeah, I do have a keen interest in tendons. You know, half dangerous in the future with tendons.
Cool. I think the only thing I wanted to add onto the last bit that Frank, you spoke about there, was just how, listening to you speak, I think it matches the values that we kind of hold and think and talk about, which is probably why Lewis was so keen and spotted you to bring you on board. It's good to have you. I think it'd be exciting to have another member of the team on board, a little bit more of a fair split and divide between our Northern Irish and English counterparts. It's good to have that evenness and fairness. And then in terms of just who knows, it could be coming. Me and Brad know nothing. In terms of just kind of moving forward and things like that, I just wanted to touch on kind of what our intentions are. And obviously, it's nice to have someone on board, but primarily to boost that engagement and offer that personability between ourselves and make it a little bit less dry and a little bit more exciting and funny, I think is probably where we're coming from with the reasons behind things. In terms of what listeners can look forward to in the future, we're hoping to do a bit of a day in the life on our Instagram stories or social medias. So I think Frank's going to look to take on one of those, and potentially Brad as well in the future. So stay tuned to listen in for those. That might add a little bit more of a different aspect to the content that we provide. And obviously, we've mentioned before about how we're potentially looking to move forward to doing some sessions with physio societies and things like that on different content and topics. So yeah, just stick around for some more frequent posting from us. Should be good. Should be exciting times ahead.
Yeah. And I just want to say, lads, like, I listen to a lot of podcasts before even Lewis had reached out or anything. You know, you were doing really good work there. Like, I remember even, was it the first one was Helen McKeever in the SEL, Lewis, I think you did. But, mm-hmm. You know, some of them have really struck out to me. The episode with Stephen Much, like, I remember he said, like, at the end of the session, he was saying about being humble, curious and purposeful. I remember I was walking, listening that night, took that down in my notes that, you know, yous are doing. I've sent it on to a few ones in my class and stuff, the podcast. So it's been a real good resource for me as a student. So fair play to yous for doing this. And that's why I was very happy to come on board and try and help in whatever way I could, whether it's memes or whatever it is. Hopefully I can add on to it, because yous are doing real good work.
Thanks very much.
Yes, man.
Cool. I think that wraps us up. Cool. So thank you very much for listening to the Talking Physiotherapy podcast, and bye for now.